Please stand with me this morning for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, we're going to read one verse there this morning. We're going to read verse 8 together. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Say amen when you found that scripture this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Read with me. The Bible says, "And all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." You may be seated.
Amen. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I want to turn to a couple of passages of scripture this morning just to kind of lay groundwork before we make our ways over to Luke chapter number 2. I must say that today and Easter Resurrection Sunday are the two most difficult sermons that I preach each year because you really can't do justice to what happened on those days. Jesus Christ, God, coming to be born in flesh. And Jesus Christ, God, dying for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's hard to fathom those things, let alone try to explain them.
Yep.
I'm going to try my best to let us look through Scripture and have Scripture open our eyes a little bit just to the magnitude of Christmas and Christ's birth and what it really means to us, and just to bring us into focus again for the reason for the season and why we rejoice. Amen. So we started here a moment ago in Revelation. If you're there still, Revelation's chapter 13 and verse number 8. Keep your Bibles handy. So we turn about four passages of scripture before we kind of land in Luke chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, the reason for the season. It's the title of this morning's message. And in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 8, we read a moment ago, says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb." And I want you to notice this part, the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. You know, the cross did not take God by surprise. He had already decided before he said, "Let there be light," that he was going to die for our sins. In his omniscience, he was able to look ahead to see how it was all going to play out. He saw Adam and Eve eat the fruit. He saw the fall of man and the sin in the garden. He saw the flood. He saw the Tower of Babel. He saw everything, World War I, World War II. He saw everything, Judah, Jerusalem. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. And after looking ahead and seeing the mess we were going to make of his creation, he still went back and said, "Let there be light."
Amen.
Because he loves you. And he wants you to be with him. He was slain from the foundation of the world. He knew what was going to happen. It didn't take Jesus Christ by surprise, the cross. He knew when he came down to be born of a virgin, he was born to die. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Just remind ourselves who this Christ child was, this baby in the manger was. Just to pause and remember who he is. Revelation 1:8 says, Jesus Christ speaking here to John, "I am Alpha and Omega." Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last. It's like saying, "I am A and I am Z. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty God." That's Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We hear this passage sung in Handel's Messiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. So Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Read this out loud with me, if you would. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who was this child given to? Us. You. Everybody, I want you, everybody, stop where you're at right now and just think. Just think and understand this. Say this to yourself. God loves me. He gave this child for you. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is who this baby Jesus was, the creator of the world. Look at John chapter 1 in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Thank you for staying with me this morning. John chapter number 1, verse 1 through 4. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Remember, he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is the beginning. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." We know that Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word. Nothing was made. You and I were not made without Jesus Christ. All things were made by him. "Let there be light." God spoke the Word. He used Jesus Christ, the Word, to create. And there was light. This is this babe in a manger that we're talking about. And then look at Genesis chapter 1. And then we'll get to Luke. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." This babe in a manger could speak, and anything would happen if he wished. When he was on the cross, he said, "Think not that I could not ask my Father, and he would send 12 legions of angels, and I could come down off the cross if I asked." He's all powerful. He is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. Now Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And I would encourage everyone to Christmas morning, get up before you open any presents with your coffee. Read Luke chapter number 2, the chapter with your family, and remind yourself why you're celebrating. Amen. And let me just say, in Luke chapter 2, it just reminds you of the Christmas gift, the only Christmas gift you need. And let me say, when you rejoice about receiving Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you have no gifts, one gifts, or 100 gifts under the tree, because you're reminded about the one gift that hung on a tree for you. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. You have the greatest gift you need. Amen? But here in Luke chapter number 2, let me pause for a minute and read John 3:16. You probably know this one. It says, "For God so loved the world." How many of you are part of the world? Raise your hand. Okay, so keep your hand up. Just some of you part of the world. If you're breathing, raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. "For God so loved the world." Who's that? You. "For God so loved you, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son." Stop and think about that. God Almighty giving up God Almighty the Son for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you so much that he offers you home in heaven forever. Is that not amazing?
Amen.
Luke chapter number 2, we're going to read verse 1 through 5 here, begin with. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Now, how many of you men would you think you'd be able to convince your wife to go on a trip when she's about to have a baby? How many of you think she'd be happy with you if it was your idea? When my first child was born, Kimberly, I was a little paranoid about germs. I'm a whole lot better about germs than I used to be. But everyone that came to the hospital, my pastor, everybody that came to the hospital, it's great when you see pictures of people visiting and holding Kimmy. I made them put on those yellow hospital gowns and gloves. Did I make them put like a hairnet? And I think some of them had to put like a hairnet and like a mask. Here's my child. Be careful. And they're all in there, look like, you know, they're in an operating room. By the time William came along, it's like, "Here. You want to hold them? You have a cold, it's okay. They're resilient." I'm joking a little bit, okay? Mr. Rihanna's like, "Really? No." But, you know, we had picked out the hospital that we wanted our kids to be born in. We picked the best hospital, the cleanest. How many want your kid to be born in a clean place? We picked a nice place where it's like a suite, okay? And the mother gets to stay there after the baby's born, and it's like a suite. There's couches. I mean, I was looking for my comfort, too. There was a comfortable couch for me to rest on. It was nice. All three of our kids were born there. We got to pick the exact doctor that we wanted, and he was well-known, and we wanted the best, right? And when the baby came home, we had already painted, was it purple or pink? It was purple. We already had the room painted purple. And I mean, we had the matching bedspread and the matching thing on the on the window. Yeah, help me. It was decked out. I mean, she had something to lay in, something to walk in, something to swing in, something to... It's amazing how many chairs and things these kids need. We go on vacation and I'm unloading. Everything is Kimmy's for her. I'm like, "Where's my luggage?" "Oh, the handbag." I mean, we prepared. She came home from the hospital, and it was clean. It was nice. She had all these little onesies, you know, that they can wear for 3 days, and they outgrow them. You know those? They save a lot of money because they're small, and they get you on the cuteness, but your kids only fit in them for like a week, and they grow too big. So you got 50 onesies you can't use. But she had everything that bottles lined up and everything. Are you with me? Don't you think Joseph and Mary had things ready? They're there in Nazareth. They got the baby's room getting prepared. I mean, this is, after all the angels have come to them, they realize this is the Son of God that's going to be born. This is the Messiah. You think they would have maybe made something nice for the Messiah to live in? You think they might have had a baby's room done up for baby Jesus and the Messiah to come with a nice baby's bed, and they had decorated it nice and had everything just right. Back then, they had midwives that would come and help deliver the babies in home. It's great because I'm driving a school bus, and one guy was like, "Yeah, I was born there in the barn, and my dad was born over there in the house, and my great, you know," I'm like, "Oh, you know, that's where we used to be born, in the house, in the barn, wherever the mama was, that's where you're born, right?" Some of us, no? Okay. And they had the midwife scheduled. They had picked out the midwife that they wanted. She was probably well-known. It was a good midwife. They were ready for this baby. And all of a sudden, here comes this notice. You have to go pay your taxes. In the city of your ancestors, Bethlehem. Imagine Joseph's face when he read that thing. Are you kidding me? My wife's pregnant here, about to have a baby, and I got to go? Now, what do you think there probably was some kind of huge penalty if you didn't go? Yeah, we're talking the Roman times here. I don't know if it would have been death or what, but it was enough of a penalty that he made the trip with his pregnant wife. Ladies, traveling while you're about to deliver ain't fun, is it? Nothing when you're about to deliver is fun. Right? You get close to that time, and you hate your husband, you hate the world. You imagine traveling that century's style of mode of traveling on the rocky roads or no roads and bumpy cart or on the donkey or however she got there. I tell you what, there's some tough women back then. Amen. Imagine they get down there and there's no room in the family homesteads. I mean, they're going to where, you know, his tribe and everything is, so you think that there would be room, but there wasn't any room. In fact, there wasn't any room in the inn. That's how many people there were. Just packed out. I wonder if Joseph said to Mary, you know, this really isn't what I had planned. And then perhaps Mary looked back at Joseph and said, yeah, but this is what God had planned. You think it took God by surprise he was going to be born in a stable? You know what's amazing about our God? He was born in a stable, and he was okay with that. I wonder if he did that just to show that he's reaching out to everybody. It doesn't matter where you were born. He wasn't born in the best hospital and where we think I can never approach someone like that. You know, maybe status of... He was born in a stable. If the inn was packed, what do you think the stable was? I mean, how do people get there? Animals, right? Anyone ever been inside a stable? Do they sell perfume labeled stable? Hey, I see you put on some stable this morning. No. It's not exactly the best smell, is it? Stables generally aren't the cleanest. And poor Mary here gives birth in a stable. They don't have a cradle to lay the Lord in. Seems like the decree came and you had to go. Perhaps Joseph was hoping he could go pay his tax and get back. But it didn't work out that way. She had the Lord, the King of Kings, the Great I Am, the Almighty God in a stable. And they laid him in the manger. It's basically a feeding trough for the horses. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes, not the nice onesies that they had picked out. They just had to go. Just wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. That's a lot of love. It's a lot of love to come down and be born human. But just think how much more the love was multiplied and how Jesus allowed himself to be born, how God allowed himself to come in a manger. Verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We need to be careful we're not guilty today of not letting there be any room in our home for the Lord. I'm not talking about to be born. I'm talking about his presence welcome in our home. We need to have a clean house for the Lord to stay in. We need to have a clean body for the Lord to indwell in. And it says, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Wouldn't you be? And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Well, I guess there probably wasn't a bunch of babies lying in a manger in Bethlehem, was there? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. My wife and I just recently got to go down to Lancaster. We got to go to the Miracle of Christmas at Sight and Sound. And I was moved to tears several times during their performance and show, because it just helped you visualize things maybe you didn't picture before about Christ being born. Several things of what I just said this morning. But one thing that really just put me in awe, they had, you know, these angels flying around. They had on cables, you know, these real people singing and things out in the air. And then all of a sudden lights come on, there's angels everywhere, and the people and the manger and the shepherds all just start to sing a song praising God. And it really affected my heart, because I thought, one day I'll get to do that. One day I'll get to sing with the angels and praise God. One day we all will. And they had there in this performance, they had the innkeeper's wife come in, and Mary asked if she wanted to hold the baby, and she said, okay. And so she holds the baby, and as she's looking into the baby's eyes, she said, there's something different about this baby. She said, when I look in his eyes, I feel, and then Joseph says, love. And then she realizes who this baby is, and she says, I can't hold this baby because I am an unclean and wicked woman. And Mary puts out her hand, and she said, yes, she can. That's why he came. You and I are why he came. Us, sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commendeth his love toward us. He showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I am not worthy. I am not worthy of the sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ in his life. But he thought, I was worth something. I'm worth something to God. No one else may know my name. No one else may love me. But God knows my name and God loves me. Amen. No one else may be able to love me to the fullest, but God loves me to the fullest. It's a great thought, isn't it? They're singing here, and I love it how God has it proclaimed to shepherds that the great shepherd is here. Verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things in her and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And imagine as they bring him in there to the temple, God the Father there waiting as his son comes in flesh. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Could you imagine holding God? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Jesus, God Almighty, Emmanuel, God with us, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, is the reason for the season. Make sure, let's make sure we're teaching our children why we celebrate Christmas. Amen? Amen? Let's make sure we pause on Christmas morning to celebrate and worship the King of Kings, because it's his birthday. Amen? Amen? He's the reason for the season. I love the song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy had walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the lame will leap, and the dead will live again. The dumb will speak and sing the praises of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
Let's make sure we celebrate Christmas the right way.
Amen.
With God and for God. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Christmas is here, and Christmas was made possible because of God's love to you. Unto us a son is given, that's you. Unto us a son is born, that's you. God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, anybody, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Will not perish. That means you won't have to suffer in hell for eternity. You won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. The greatest gift ever given to mankind. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you accepted his gift of dying in your place for your sins? With their heads bowed and eyes closed, God loves you, even though you're a sinner. And he decided to send his son to die for all your sins so that you wouldn't have to pay for them yourself in hellfire forever. But if you reject God and say, I don't believe, or if you say, I don't accept him dying on the cross for my place, then one day when this body you're in takes its last breath, you'll wake up in the place called hell, and you'll pay for your sins forever, and you'll never leave it. But God doesn't want you there. He wants you with him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. For with the heart Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know you loved me. I know you sent Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to die on the cross for my sins. And I believe in you, and I believe in him. Please forgive me for my sins. I accept him dying in my place. Take me to heaven when I die, and he will. It's that simple. I would say right now, Pastor Rines, if I died right now, I'm 100% sure I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? No doubts in my mind. Amen. Amen. If you weren't able to raise your hand, in a minute we're going to stand and bow our heads for a moment of prayer. The altar will be open for a moment of prayer, and the piano will play. We'll have some people down at the altar workers. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, don't leave here this morning without that doubt. Get it settled.